Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're really glad you're with us here on this Sunday, September 24th, 2023. And you can find us here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, USA. Isn't that right, Ed?
That's correct.
And you will find us here. We've been doing this for many years, and we want to thank Ray Powers for letting us be a part of the New Visions Radio family. Also, you know, we're hoping that next week, we weren't able to do it today, but we're hoping that next week we'll have a special guest, Jason Hovey, here. And I don't want to build everybody's expectations, but we're really hoping that he will be here. I think he will. I think
you know, it's really interesting that this study today is going to lead right into what his area of expertise is, and his area of his ministry.
Yeah, that's right. And he has a ministry in New York City where he witnesses to people of the Islamic faith.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, this gentleman is invited. He knows the imams, many of them there, and particularly in this one area of the city.
Now, imam is what?
An imam is like it would be like what a Jew would call a rabbi or a Christian would call a pastor.
Okay.
They're the leader of the mosque.
Right.
And, you know, the thing is with many, with Islamic people, they believe that Jesus is a prophet, mm-hmm. but they don't believe that God has a son. And with the Jewish people, they believe that Jesus existed, but they don't believe he's the Son of God.
Right.
And last week we talked about how many Christians say he's the Son of God, but do they really believe it, Ed?
Right.
They really don't believe it, a lot
right.
of them. They say it, and they say, well, no, I do believe it. But when we get down to the bare bones of what the Bible says, they don't accept it.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting having him here, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be here for that. And, you know, if you have any questions that you would like to send in, please email those. If they want to email you, Ed, how would they do that?
Ed@prophecyhope.com.
You can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com. And I've been having some issues with that. I'm still working on it. I think I'm going to change servers. But also, you can email the office. You can email us at office@prophecyhope.com. So tell us a little bit about this ministry, Ed.
Well, Prophecies of Hope is, again, just a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia. We offer services on Wednesday evening for a Bible study, and that's streamed by Zoom if you're interested in joining for that. We also have services on Saturday or the Sabbath, seventh day of the week, where we have a Bible study at 9:30. We have a regular worship hour at 11.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, right now, I want to say it's been a temporary study, but it's been going on for a while, a Monday night study on the Old Testament sanctuary.
Yeah.
Studying that. What is the relevance to us today?
Yeah.
And also, this, that's kind of what we've been doing.
So now the Monday night is rapidly, it's wrapping up right now. We're pretty close to the end of that study. We were talking about that this past week. And as far as ministry is concerned, you know, you mentioned we're this tiny little ministry here.
Right.
And we are. We're very, very small. But we have a pretty good online presence. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a number of people that join us. You can also stream our service at the website, prophecyhope.com.
Yeah.
And the other thing is all of our times are Eastern because we're here in Virginia. We're on the eastern part of the United States. And as one of the things you can find, too, is archived sermons there, sermons that we've given, Bible series that we've done. And as long as the technology holds up, we may have to revamp the website. But everything so far has been working pretty well, except for a couple little glitches here and there.
Okay.
And also, one of the things that you mentioned something, Ed, and it sparked a thought, and you were talking about the ministry and what we do. But I don't know. It's gone. It might come to me here in a little bit. And I think we're going to pick up again tonight in the book of Romans.
Chapter 9.
Okay. So get your Bibles out. Get them ready. And Ed, did you want to open with a word of prayer for us?
Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we're again grateful for your word, the Bible, grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we study these words in Romans, as it tells us about the sequence of events that have happened in the history of this world to bring about the birth of your Son on this earth and the salvation that we find through him, through his death on the cross and through his life that he now wants to live in us. Father, give us wisdom and knowledge as we study these things, and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Ed, so last week we talked a little bit about the identity of God and His Son. And we were all over the Bible. Yeah.
And the reason we were talking about that is because of Romans 9:5, and that different translations of the Bible seem to be concentrated on the whoever did the translation, their understanding of the Bible, mm-hmm. versus from the manuscripts. And they tend to change words in the Bible.
Yes.
And say things that the original King James doesn't say.
That's true. And so, you know, we have to be cautious in Bible translation. It's another point of study. You know, we're told to, in the book of Acts, it talks about being like the Bereans. And they were a group of people who, what did they do?
They were listening to Paul and Silas preach, and they looked at the scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas were preaching was really what the Bible said.
So this is what we urge you and ourselves to do. When you hear a minister, a pastor, a preacher, or a lay person say something and they say, well, this is what the Bible teaches, even if they speak with authority and you trust them, make sure that that's what the Bible is saying. Yeah. That's the point.
I want to say another thing about the newer translations. Mm. Sometimes they help me understand things I don't understand.
It's true. The paraphrases.
They're not all bad. What we're saying is you have to be careful.
Right.
You have to compare scripture to scripture and translation to translation. Mm. And take the whole of the Bible, what it says on a subject. And through prayer, through claiming the promises of God's word for understanding and wisdom, you can understand the Bible and what it says.
That's right. You surely can. And that's the key. We talked about this last week, actually, how those who were taught by Christ were not necessarily educated people.
Right.
And they were speaking with the authority that Jesus gave them. And it really helped people to understand the message.
And don't let people use that against you, saying, well, you don't have a degree in this or that.
And that's right.
It doesn't matter. God can enable anybody to understand His Word.
Amen. And even if you're a young person, whether you're a teenager, even a preteen, it doesn't matter. You know, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, don't let people look down on your youth. God can use you. Jesus was in the temple preaching at 12 years old, right?
Yeah.
And they were listening to the things He had to say.
Right.
So if He can do it, He came to set the example for us. If you are a preteen or a teenager, you can do it also. So where are we, Ed?
We're in Romans 9, and I'd like to have you read verses 6 through 9 for us.
All right, Romans 9, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called, that is, those who are children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son.
You know, this is interesting to me because it goes to Isaac, that in Isaac shall your seed be called.
Mm.
Now, Abraham is the father of Isaac. Mm-hmm. But Paul didn't say, in Abraham your seed shall be called.
That's true, he didn't.
Why is that?
That's a really good question. You know, because Abraham is talked about a lot in the Bible. So are you going to take us to some verses to help us understand this?
Let me ask a few questions first. How many children did Abraham have?
You know, well, he had two. If we know the account of Abraham, he was promised that he would have a child.
Right.
And he and Sarah were getting very old. And just to give the overview of it, Sarah came to Abraham and said, hey, you know, we're getting old. We need to have a child. And she convinced Abraham to go into her maidservant Hagar, and they had another son.
Right. Let's read about that promise.
Okay.
Can we go to Genesis chapter 18?
Absolutely.
And let's read verses 10 through 14. And if you want to read around it more, we can, but I'm going to read from the Modern King James Version, starting with verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, far gone in days, and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after my being old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being also old? And Jehovah said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I, who am old, truly bear a child? Is anything too hard for Jehovah? At the time appointed, I will return again according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. This is the promise God made to Abraham.
Hmm. Yeah, this is what we're talking about.
Right.
So he was promised to have a son, but he didn't seem to be patient enough.
Yeah, and they took matters into their own hand, and like you said, Sarah gave Abraham her maid to have a child with, to,
right,
in their own way to fulfill God's promise.
Yes, in other words, you know, what would we call that today? I guess we would call it self-righteousness.
Yes.
Or maybe trying our own works.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Instead of depending on what God has in store.
That's why in Romans 9, what we read, it says they are, nor because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. Mm-hmm. That is, not the children of the flesh are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for a seed. The children of the flesh that's being talked about here is talking about the child that Abraham had through Hagar, which is Ishmael.
Right. Which Ishmael was born first.
Yes.
But he was not called the firstborn.
No.
So one reason for that is because they stepped out of God's arrangement.
Right.
This was not according to God's plan. And, you know, there's something very important here, Ed, a lesson that we can learn. I don't want you to lose your thought.
Okay.
But God doesn't take our freedom to choose. He wants us to make the right choice.
He wants us to put our faith and trust in him.
Right. But he doesn't rob us of that. He gives us, and really, what does our choices say a lot about who we are and about where our heart is? And by those choices, those things we're going to be held accountable for.
Right.
So I just wanted to throw that out there, because so many people, when they read in Romans or in certain parts of the Bible, they might read the word predestined. It's not talking about predestination. So,
you know, we've been talking about Abraham. Let's look at his children. Let's look at that a little bit more in the book of Galatians chapter 4. Now, in the book of Galatians, Paul talks a lot about the Spirit. He talks about in chapter 3 about how do you obtain the Spirit? Is it through keeping the law or of faith? And, of course, we know it's by faith. And so here in chapter 4, we're going to start out by reading about this. If you could read verses 21 through 31 of chapter 4.
Chapter 4. Yeah. Sorry about that. You probably might have heard my keyboard drop on the desk there. Okay, so Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. And read through the end of the chapter?
Yes.
Okay. It says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, that the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
There's so much here.
Yeah, you need to explain some of this for us.
So again, we have this symbolism here in this scripture that you just read, mm-hmm. that the slave woman being born, the son of the slave woman being born according to the flesh,
right,
according to man's desires.
We become slaves to sin.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Abraham and Sarah both were trying to accomplish God's will through their own way, through their own wisdom. Mm. And here, the Bible calls it according to the flesh. But it contrasts with the son of the woman that was achieved through the promise of God. Mm. And that's compared to the two covenants, the old covenant, which was pronounced in Mount Sinai, the giving of the Ten Commandments,
right.
and the new covenant, which is compared to Jerusalem above, not the Jerusalem on this earth, which was part of the old covenant.
Okay.
So does that mean anything to you, the old versus the new covenant?
You know, yes, it does. I think that so many people separate. They say, well, they're completely different. But is there a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant?
There is a little bit of a difference. Do you want to read about that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's go to the book of Hebrews.
All right.
And let's go to chapter 8.
All right.
And it's only 13 verses. Why don't we read the whole thing?
Okay. When you say we, do you mean me?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Hebrews chapter 8. And this is a really interesting chapter.
You know, so, a lot of people claim to be a New Covenant church.
That's true.
So let's see what the Bible says about the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant.
Mm. This is very important. So Hebrews 8, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, and not man."
And this high priest is talking about Jesus.
Jesus, absolutely. Yeah, so everything that was pointing to Jesus in that tabernacle, right?
The tabernacle of the old earthly Old Testament.
Right,
tabernacle.
Or some might call it the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Verse 3 says, "For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if we were on earth, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make a tabernacle. For he said, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.'"
So here he's talking about he would not be a priest since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law.
Mm-hmm.
The priests in the Old Testament needed to be of the Levite tribe.
That's right.
Jesus was of the tribe of Judah.
Okay.
And so if he were a priest here on this earth, he couldn't be a priest according to the law.
I see. That makes sense.
Right.
All right. Because he wasn't a Levite.
Right.
Okay. So we look at this. It says in verse 3 again, "For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices.
Right.
Therefore, it's necessary that this one also have something to offer." Let's see. So I'm going to pick it up again in verse 5 just to kind of drive this home. It says, well, let me just read 4 again. "For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law. That's what you were talking about.
Right.
Verse 5, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.
So it was a pattern of heavenly sanctuary.
Yes. So this means, from reading this, that there must be a sanctuary in heaven.
Yes.
And I believe that to be literal, Ed.
Yes.
That's what this is telling us.
Yeah, the earthly sanctuary was a pattern of the heaven.
Yes. And how can I have a copy of something that's not literal,
right?
So verse 6 says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. This is really misunderstood.
Yeah.
Maybe we can come back to that.
Yeah, we will.
Verse 8, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant he has made the first, obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete is growing old, and growing old is ready to vanish away.
So he talks in verse 7 about the first covenant. If the first covenant had not been without fault, there would be no place have been sought for the second.
Mm-hmm.
But finding fault with them, the children of Israel, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, I will make an end on the house of Israel and on the house of Judah. A new covenant shall be. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took hold of their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not regard them. The problem wasn't with the law of God. The problem was the people didn't follow it.
I'm glad you clarified when you read verse 8, Ed, because you said, because finding fault with them, and you said the people.
Yes.
Because so many people say, well, there was a problem with the law.
Right.
The problem wasn't with the covenant that God made. The problem was that the people weren't listening to what God was saying. They weren't doing the things that he had laid out for them. And it's very difficult. So under the new covenant, there is a better way that we have.
Right.
That helps us to overcome.
In Romans 8, 3, it talks about, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what the law could not do, this external law that, because of the weakness of the flesh, I couldn't find a way to obey it. God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and condemned sin in the flesh so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. How? Because it's written in our hearts and minds.
That's what he says here in verse 10 when he's quoting from the Old Testament.
Right.
This was a promise God gave in the Old Testament.
So the new covenant is the law of God, the Ten Commandments, written in your hearts and mind.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't say, God never said, look, I'm going to completely rewrite the laws so that you don't have to keep them.
Right.
I'm going to change it to make it easier for you. That's not what he said.
He's saying, I'm going to enable you, empower you
That's
through
it.
My son to keep the law of my law.
That's right.
God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father.
Yes. We have read that a number of times. And that's in we see that in Romans, right?
In
the book of Romans that we've been studying.
Right.
So this is so important that we understand this. So the key is those people, the problem was their disobedience.
Yes.
We can have that same problem today.
Oh, yeah. If we rely on our flesh, on our own way of doing things, on our own power, which is basically self-righteousness,
right,
then we're going to fail because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
But God not only sent his son to die on the cross to save us from our sins, for forgiveness of sins, but he sent the spirit of his son into our hearts to empower us to overcome sin in our lives.
That's it. So this is the problem today, as I think so many people, they think of the new covenant as a license to sin.
Yeah, it's not.
They think of it as, well, because Jesus died for me, this allows me to be able to continue in my life the way I'm living it, and he covers me. But no, what this is saying is you need to be, the old covenant couldn't change you internally. You had to have the desire to want to do those things. And what God's saying now is, I'm going to allow the spirit of my son to dwell in you to help change you internally,
yes,
if you so desire.
I want to read something from Isaiah 42.
Okay.
In verse 6. Now, the very first verse of Isaiah 42 says, Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit on him. This is talking about Jesus,
mm-hmm,
and God has put his spirit on him when he comes to this earth. Mm-hmm. In verse 6, it says, I, Jehovah, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the nations, to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness out of the prison house of sin.
Right. That's it.
And Christ is the new covenant. He is our new covenant. He is how God empowers us to overcome sin in our lives. It's through Christ that the law of God is written in our hearts and minds.
And Christ didn't come so that we could break the law. He didn't come to replace the law. He didn't come to do away with the law.
Right.
He came to fulfill it, to show us that it could be done.
Yes.
That's what it means when it says to fulfill. He came to live it and show if we follow his example and we simply accept him into our hearts, we can do what he did,
yes,
by his power.
Yes, and that's part of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's the beauty of it.
Yes.
Christ in you.
The
right?
hope of glory, yes.
Amen. So what a powerful text this is, you know, when we read these things. And, you know, this is one of the things that happens a lot. You know, we've been doing the sanctuary study on Monday nights,
right,
yeah, that you mentioned at the beginning.
That's very much a part of what we just read.
This is what it's about.
Yes.
And one of the issues that we have in Christianity is that many people don't recognize that there is a sanctuary in heaven, that Christ is in the heavenly sanctuary, ministering for us,
right,
being our high priest. They'll say he's our high priest, but they don't believe in a literal sanctuary,
right,
in heaven.
He's performing those services that the priest in the earthly sanctuary performed.
But he was the sacrifice.
Yes. He's presenting his blood.
Yes.
The blood of bull and goats can't forgive sins. It can't purify the mind.
Right.
Where his blood does.
It's an amazing thing. But again, we have to desire that.
Yes.
It's something that, it's a choice that we have to make. And friends, I plead with you quite often, but you know, this is our plea that, and this is what the Father and his Son want. Think about these things. Think about your life. Think about the things that you're doing in your life that you know displease God. And if you can make a change, come to him in prayer and ask him, help me to remove this from my life. Help me to do your will, O God. Help me to have Christ in me that I can overcome these things. Yeah. Pray that prayer.
Yes.
And if that's truly what you want, he will give that to you. He will give you a way to overcome whatever it is that's preventing you from having a relationship with him and from being a part of his kingdom for eternity.
Right. Now, we've been talking about the two children of Abraham.
Yes. Two sons.
The child through his wife's handmaid, Hagar, is Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
What happened with Ishmael?
Wow, that's quite an account. So many people think that he was cursed, but he was actually giving a blessing. He and Hagar were told to leave the vicinity. It caused a lot of problems with the family.
Uh-huh.
It really did. And go ahead, Ed.
Well, yeah, the Hagar and her son would mock Sarah for not having any children of her own.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad. And, you know, there are tremendous problems even today as a result of this relationship.
Right.
And this, let me say this, this message is offensive to people.
Yeah.
It's offensive because you have two major religious groups that are opposed to one another.
And just to clarify a thing, Ishmael became the father of the Muslim religion.
Yes, the Islamic movement.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because if you talk to a Jewish person, they'll say that our father is Abraham. And if you talk to a Islamic person or a Muslim, they'll say our father is Abraham.
Right.
They're both right.
Correct.
They're not lying. I mean, they know their heritage.
Yeah, but one are the children of the flesh.
Yes.
And the other's the children of the promise.
Here's the beauty of it, though. This is why our brother Jason does the ministry he does, because I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm born of the flesh.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
Yes.
Even Jews are born of the flesh.
Right.
But we have to be partakers of the divine nature of Christ.
That's a child of promise.
That's it. And that's available to everyone, to every person.
Right.
So we're not saying that, well, this group is better than that group. We're just reading what the Bible says.
Right.
And God says, I am laying out this plan of salvation for everyone.
Right. God desires that everyone come to the knowledge of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, no matter your heritage.
Amen. And this world is causing so much division and causing hatred between one group and another. And we have to put that hatred behind us and preach the gospel to everyone.
The reason these texts are important is that you know the history of the line of the promise made to Eve in your seed.
That's right.
You know,
yeah,
through the woman's seed, the serpent's head would be crushed.
Yes, in Genesis 3:15, which is the first Bible prophecy that Ed is referring to. Let's just go there for a moment, Ed, because not everybody listening, you know, people tune in at various times, and they might not be familiar with this. In Genesis chapter 3, after the man and the woman had eaten the fruit, they had eaten the fruit that God told them not to eat, God makes them a promise, and this is part of the promise that we're talking about today.
Right.
This is what it says in Genesis 3:15. God is speaking to the serpent here, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed, that's the serpent's seed, and her seed.
Right.
Well, her seed is actually a descendant of Abraham through the lineage of Isaac.
Right.
Right? So when we look at this, it says, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This is a direct prophecy about the lineage that would come through Abraham's seed, which would be Christ Jesus eventually.
Right. And so these things are written so you can know for sure that as you follow this history of the descendants of Adam and Eve through Abraham, through David, through until you get to Christ, that you know that Christ is truly what the Messiah who is promised by God in the Garden of Eden.
The promised seed.
Yes.
Right?
And so that's why it calls Isaac the child of promise and the Ishmael the child of the flesh.
Yes. And, you know, this is, again, this is by the choices that was made.
Right.
By the individual. You know, if, and there's a good lesson for this. You know, Abraham, according to God's arrangement, is supposed to be the head of his house. Mm-hmm. And Adam was supposed to be the head of his house. But by listening to their wives, by going against what God wanted,
right.
You know, so this isn't just for husbands. This is for anyone. If you have a spouse or a friend or a neighbor that's encouraging you to go against the word of God, look at the damage that's caused by going against the word of God, whoever you are. You know, think about those things. Think about these things before we do it, because each one of these things have long-term consequences, and they could be eternal consequences.
Right. So when we look at the descendants of these two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, we have the Muslim religion through
Ishmael,
the child of Ishmael, and we have the Jewish religion through the child of Isaac.
Yes, we do.
Neither one believe in the Son of God.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, neither one do. And we were talking about the Son of God last week.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing, and this is what I hope we can talk about next week a little bit, is when you show people, when you show these groups what the Bible actually says, even in the first, what we just read in Genesis, and you just ask a couple of pointed questions, it causes them to think about what's taking place, and they begin to see, wait a minute, there's something wrong with my thought process.
Both groups have knowledge of this history that we're talking about.
Absolutely. And they accept it. This is part of their heritage.
Right.
And, of course, you know, each one believes that they are the chosen one.
Right.
Just like every Christian believes that we are the chosen one.
Right.
But you know what makes you the chosen one? Is the Son of God.
Amen.
That's the only way.
Yeah, and that's through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so it's important to understand that anyone can be saved. Any Muslim can be saved. Any Jew can be saved. Anybody of any heritage can be saved. But it only comes through salvation through the Son of God.
Yes, through the promised seed.
Yeah, and so it's important for everyone to understand these things, to understand the gospel, so you can put your faith and trust in the Son of God.
Mm. It's so important. And, you know, hopefully, you know, this kind of lays a little bit of a foundation. We might reflect back on these things a little bit if we get Jason in the studio here with us. Was there something else, Ed? Is there something that we're overlooking here?
Well, you know, we could go into a lot of things, like the difference between Jerusalem now and the New Jerusalem that's to come. But I think we can maybe do that at a later date.
Okay. All right.
And we can just continue on in Romans 9.
One of the things that I wanted to state is this ministry, Prophecies of Hope. We, you know, people often ask us, well, what religion are you? They want to put a label, you know, what denomination is what they mean by that. And how do you answer that, Ed?
Well, the easy answer is we're non-denominational.
Right.
But it's like when Jesus sent the 70 out to go proclaim the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and they come back all excited, about what happened through the power of Christ gave to them.
Mm-hmm.
He says, don't be excited about these things. Don't rejoice in these things, but rejoice that your name's written in heaven.
Mm.
We want to have our names written in heaven in the book of life.
And that's where your membership should be. Not with a church or a denomination necessarily.
We're baptized into Christ, not into a church.
And so, well, you know, people say, what religion are you? I always say, well, we're Christian.
Uh-huh.
And I usually know what they mean.
Uh-huh.
And they'll say, well, no, what church do you belong to? And, you know, the only thing that we can say is, well, we don't belong to any denomination, but we belong to Jesus Christ. You know, go ahead, Ed. I see a look on your face.
When I was a kid, I went with my parents. I was really young, probably not even 10 yet. And we went to visit some friends. They went to their church with them. And when we got into the church, there were some people greeting there. And they were asking my dad, what church do you go to? Where are you from? And he goes, well, we go to the right church.
Oh, my goodness.
We went to a church that was located in Wright Township, W-R-I-G-H-T.
Oh, that makes sense. The Wright Church.
So he was just giving them a hard time.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. The Wright, W-R-I, the Wright Church. Yeah. That's good. I love that.
So, you know, the Wright Church is being of the Son of God.
Amen. Yeah.
Being connected to God Jesus. Through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so many times we put focus on, you know, the Jewish people are very proud of their heritage.
Yeah.
The Muslim people are very proud of their heritage. And a lot of times as Christians, we're very proud. My grandfather was a part of this church.
Yeah,
You know, you were going to say something? Oh, okay. But yeah, we put great importance on those things. But I think that's just our human way. That's just our fleshly way.
You know, our heritage, if it's a good heritage, should point us not to a church, but to the Word of God.
Amen.
And to His Son, Jesus Christ. That's where we should constantly point. Our brother Roy has a good saying that we should constantly preach the gospel,
yes.
The gospel of Jesus Christ, and when necessary, use words.
Yeah, I love that. It is really good.
Yeah,
that is really a good saying. And it's so true. Our lifestyle, the way that we live, speaks volumes.
Yeah.
It really does. And I think that, you know, when we're frustrated or maybe sitting in traffic or with a market and we're in a hurry, sometimes it's hard to remember those things.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This is welcome to the human experience.
Right.
Right?
You know, the reason we're here is not to give you knowledge about what the Bible says and the knowledge how it relates to history. It's knowledge to change your life.
Yes. And just by reading the Bible, by pointing to it.
And developing a relationship with Christ and his Father.
Yes. And everything from the beginning of the Bible to the end, everything is about restoring humanity to
yes.
what God wanted us to be.
Yes.
And the beauty of it is we can experience that in many ways today. We can experience it right now. And friends, I don't know about you, but when I listen to the news, when I turn on the news or I see something on TV, it's so disturbing. And if it wasn't for the message that the Bible has, that Jesus Christ has given us, I don't think I would think right. I wouldn't be who I am now. But I have peace in Christ Jesus. And I hope that each one of you that are listening sense that peace and can have a part of that by knowing Jesus.
When you see everything going on, no matter what side of the aisle, politically speaking, you're on, if you recognize that God is in control, even though things are happening not the way you want them to,
right.
God is in control and His will be done, and you can put your trust in Him.
Ultimately, isn't that true? Because, you know, we just in the Bible series that we just had, when we look at the things that Nebuchadnezzar went through, all of those things that happened with him, and through the whole process, God was in control of everything, even though it might have seemed like, well, wait a minute, this is out of control. Nebuchadnezzar wanted certain things to happen. He thought he could thwart prophecies of God.
Right.
But he can't. He can't.
The children of God in that story you're talking about believed in God, in His Word, in His commandments, and were faithful to obedience to God, and that got them into the situation they got into.
Absolutely. You know, and we're talking about the account of the three Hebrews, right?
And the fiery furnace.
And the people also that were taken captive for disobedience.
Yes.
God allowed them to go into captivity. And God will allow you, if you make those choices, He's going to allow you to go through the fire, so to speak.
Yes.
But the beauty of it is, in that account that Ed's talking about in Daniel chapter 3, it's beautiful because they weren't left alone. They might have been thrown into a fiery furnace, but they were not left alone.
They were thrown in because they were faithful to God and His commandments, His way, instruction in how to live their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't left alone in that one that looked like the Son of God, according to Nebuchadnezzar, was in the furnace. So there was a fourth being in there.
Yeah, there was.
And I want to share a text with you that
Please.
I shared the other day.
Yeah, I love
it. In John 14:21. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him," or reveal myself mm-hmm. to him. In that fiery furnace in the Old Testament, before Christ came to this earth and said these things, these three Hebrew men, boys, whatever age they were, mm-hmm. were obedient to God's commandment not to worship another god.
Yes.
And Christ was revealed to them with them in that fiery furnace. So they were not hurt. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them.
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, this is an important lesson, friends. If you didn't have a chance to tune into that series, you can find it on our website. And also, the thing with this account, when you think about it, it wasn't just about them worshiping the true God, but it was not only what they worshiped or who they worshiped, but when.
When, yes.
This was very important. So when you hear us at the beginning of every program, we talk about how we meet together on the biblical Sabbath. Ed shares that every week, the biblical Sabbath. It's very important that we follow the instructions that God gives us.
You know, people talk about worship, and they think of worship as going to church on a certain day of week or singing praises, but worship is also obedience to God.
Amen.
Who you obey is who you worship.
And this takes us right back to the story of Abraham, this account. It was all about obedience. And God made a promise to Abraham and Sarah. And instead of waiting for that promise to be fulfilled, they took matters into their own hands. What a lesson for us.
I've seen that very same thing happen in the background of the church I used to go to.
Mm.
They wanted to accomplish the gospel in their own way, not of God's choosing, not of God's own way, and it distorted the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You know, that's exactly what happened, isn't it? That's exactly what took place. In fact, you know, Ed, we were a part of this Prophecies of Hope group as it was developing. It was a matter of trying to, a small group of lay people,
right,
trying to bring things back to the way that God intended.
Right.
And it's amazing how when you do that, the blessings that we have received as a result of just, you know, just being patient, just going with the things that are laid out in the Bible and not stepping out of
right.
the doctrines of the Bible.
And we learned a lot of things.
We're still learning a
Our
lot
beliefs
of things.
Have changed
yes.
a lot through the study of God's Word.
They have.
Because we all had these traditions from our different church backgrounds that mm-hmm. we had, thinking this is the truth.
Right.
But we all had to make a decision. When I read the Word of God, do I believe it what it says, or do I believe what my church teaches, my pastor says, my favorite author or preacher or YouTube person
right.
says?
Yeah. And you and I, Ed, we're from two different backgrounds.
Yes.
Totally different churches.
Yeah.
And yet, look at what God can do. If you would have asked me 20 years ago if I'd be sitting here with somebody from another church doing what I'm doing now, away right. from the church of my youth.
Right, where you had the truth.
I believed it. I believed I had the truth. And you believed you had
yes.
the truth.
Yes.
And here we are sitting here together sharing the Word of God in
Sharing
in
what
unity.
It says.
Yeah, in unity, because
yes.
we're going by it and yes. not by our own feelings.
Right.
This is the power of Christ in you.
Yes.
And this is what can happen if we stick within what God has laid out for us.
Right.
And this doesn't mean that we become robots. If Abraham and Sarah had obeyed God, it doesn't make them robots. It makes them obedient. And
yes.
life would have been so much better.
Yes.
It would have been so much better. But this shows the love that God has for us, that even though they stepped out of that arrangement, God takes measures to cause his people to have salvation should they choose it. And that's what he did throughout the Bible. The devil kept trying to thwart the prophecy God made in Genesis 3:15.
Right.
And each time God had to counteract and had to put something in place to overcome what it was that the devil was trying to do.
Right. And in the series that we did, we can see some of that contrast between Satan's impersonation of what is truth, leading people into a false way,
right,
or into following God and His Son and the truth in His Word.
Right.
And that's a decision we need to make today as well.
And you know, it is. It is. And the thing is, if you talk to people, everybody, Ed, you've said it before, every church has a sign, right? Yes. A lot of churches do.
In front of their church building, gives you the hours of their services. It may have the pastor's name. It may have some scripture written on it or some cute little saying or whatever. Mm-hmm. But how many of those signs say, we don't have the truth here?
Yeah, and so here we have Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life in the Bible. That's what Jesus calls himself.
Right.
And then we have the serpent who is, he hides the truth. He doesn't know the truth. The truth isn't in him.
Deceptive.
But he's portraying himself as an angel of light. And so making that decision, making the choice, knowing which one to follow, the only way that we can know truth is through prayer and through opening God's Word and seeing what it says.
And the leading of God's Spirit through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. So, you know, it's just what a beautiful message we have here in the Bible. And we see through this thing with that we're looking at with Abraham, the seed of promise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the seed I want.
Right.
That's where I want to be. So we were in Romans 9.
Romans 9. Remember, in Romans 9, Paul is talking about his brethren. He's from the Jewish background. Mm-hmm. And he's wanting his brethren, brother Jews, to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he goes so far wishing himself to be accursed from Christ for his brother's sake, that they can understand the knowledge of the gospel. And so he starts going, reviewing with people the history of the Jewish nation, you know, how God worked through Abraham, through Isaac. And he will eventually, when we get down to the end of Romans 9, talks about, even though that the people of the nation of Israel are numberless as the sands of the sea, there's only going to be a remnant saved.
So what this is saying then, when you say a remnant, what is a remnant?
A very small amount, leftover amount.
A leftover. I guess like a carpet. If they put carpet in my house to say, hey, do you want this remnant?
Or yeah, what's left over? Little bits left? And pieces you can't really do anything with, you know.
So what I hear you saying that the Bible is telling us is that out of all of the people who have lived and are living, that it's going to be a minimal amount that are doing the will of God.
Right. And he's also saying, don't place your salvation on the basis of your heritage being a Jew.
Wow.
Or because you belong to a certain church.
That's so
it's
important.
Only through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so salvation isn't limited to the Jewish nation.
Right.
Paul has been called to preach to the nations, to the Gentiles,
yes,
the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the Jewish nation as a whole had rejected Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
I hope that the listener heard what you said, because you said that they felt like they could be saved by their heritage.
Right.
How many of us, I have been there, Ed.
Yes.
Well, because I belong to this denomination or I have the truth, I'm okay.
Right.
It's no different than what they were doing.
Right.
It's no different. But most of us have done this. Well, I belong to this fellowship or that fellowship, so I'm okay. It's not about the fellowship you belong to. It's about who you know as far as Jesus Christ and His Father.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. That's
Amen.
Acts 4:12.
I almost said 13 again. I'll read that. Here's what it says. And I'm doing this for an exercise for me, friends.
Go ahead and back up where it talks about Jesus, you know, verses earlier.
Okay.
Maybe two verses earlier. So.
Okay, yeah, let's see. Let me begin in, I'll begin in verse 9.
Okay.
How's that? And we're just about out of time. So it says, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. So it's talking about this resurrected man.
This man that was lame and that through the power of the name of Jesus.
That's right.
That
not resurrected.
He became able to walk again.
That's earlier on in the chapter,
yeah.
Or in the book. So we look here at verse 11. It says, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And that's the verse.
There's no other option.
There isn't. So, wow, this time just goes by so quickly. Yeah. It really does. We have about 1 minute. Did you have any closing comments or anything you wanted to say?
You know, you just read something about a stone.
Mm.
Jesus is found in the Bible as a stone,
yeah,
a sure foundation, a tried stone, in that he came to this earth and experienced life as we have and is without sin.
Yes.
Build your faith upon Jesus Christ, the rock.
Amen.
For some, a stone of offense, a stone of stumbling.
We're going to come back to that. I want to talk about that in the coming weeks.
Okay.
And I want to share something with the friends here. Unfortunately, we have to close with prayer.
All right.
But I love that. That's a great way to end this week. So let's have a prayer together, shall we? Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be here and to know you and your Son. And Father, I just ask that lives will be touched, that people will hear this message, and they won't just hear it, but they'll make it a part of themselves, and that they will share it with as many as possible. Father, please be with us until we come together again. We thank you for this time that we were able to open your word, and we pray these things and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, friends, I want to thank you for tuning in. Ed, thanks for being here.
It's great being here.
And it's just always a blessing. And we hope you'll tune in again next week right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.